you're just joining us, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's Thursday. It is 3:30, and so it's time for a few minutes with Dr. Kristen Lierley, candidate for the 8th Congressional District here in the state of Wisconsin. Welcome back, Kristen. Great to have you.
Hey, girl. What's going on?
Let me just start with this. This is a random question, personal question, then we're going to dig into your op-ed. I was having such a bad night of trying to sleep that I feel like a little bit of an old fart. I literally got up at about midnight, 12:30 last night, and took an evening constitutional. I was like, I'm just going to go take a little walk around the block and see if that'll air it out. And it actually did. I came home and I was able to finally get some rest. Do you have any tips for folks when people cannot find their Z's when they need them?
Man, it is, sleep is so precious, isn't it? And if you don't get that sleep, how do you function the next day? So it all really depends on what's causing your sleep disorder. Is it a breathing thing? For a lot of people, it's apnea. Sometimes it's stress. I know a lot of my campaign team right now is like, we're not sleeping
not
very
sleeping.
Well. And I'm like, you should sleep. It's fine. For some people in my industry, it's night sweats and hot flashes. You know, women going through menopause, I can treat that. There are so many. Yeah, I got you, Maggie. We'll talk. We'll offline that
one. We'll offline. Yeah. Definitely checking the box on the night sweats and hot flashes. I'm one of those gals that needs like the fan, the noisemaker, and my foot out. You know, like then I can maybe get my body temperature correct. Enough about me, Dr. Lierley. Let's talk about you. I was really excited and happy to see that you responded to the questions posed by the Journal Sentinel. You wrote, in effect, an op-ed in response to a series of questions that they asked. And so I just wanted to go through these different topics. And the first one was talking about the affordability of things for middle-class folks. And share with people some of your thoughts on that you wrote about in the Journal Sentinel this week.
Well, this is one of those things that we hear from almost everybody. You know, people want to know what people's biggest concern is. It's the economy and lots of other stuff. But everybody is stressed out about the price of eggs or gas or housing or childcare. Like everything is too expensive. How do we fix it? You know, we've got to crack down on when it comes to grocery store prices, corporate price gouging. Inflation is such an effective buzzword for Donald Trump and his lackeys, including my opponent. They use that word and it makes us feel so uncomfortable. And yeah. I get it. Inflation was really high 2 years ago. It's in the zone now. It's actually an appropriate level of inflation, but prices have not come down. So we're still feeling it. And we're feeling it because of, in many ways, corporate price gouging. So that's something that Congress can do to make sure that those prices come back down and we can afford essential things like healthy food and gas for our cars.
Hear, hear. You also noted in your op-ed that, again, this was published yesterday. You can find it in the Journal Sentinel. You addressed, you know, our taxation approach and really the responsibility, I think, is a word we hear a lot from conservatives, but I'd like to put it in this context, the responsibility for the wealthiest among us to pay their fair share.
Well, it says on the building in Washington, D.C., the IRS taxes are the price we pay for a civilized society. We all have to pay our bit in order to maintain our society where it's at. And what is happening is that corporations and the ultra wealthy just aren't. They've received all of these giant tax cuts, most recently in 2016 with Donald Trump's tax cut, that we have a decision to make about whether we are going to continue to extend these tax cuts for the ultra wealthy and these corporations, or if we're going to give tax cuts to middle class families and people who could really use these dollars, people who are really struggling to get by. The gap between the haves and the have-nots is greater than it's been at any time since the Great Depression. And that is not what we need in this country. We need to bolster the middle class and just to make sure that we can live healthy, meaningful lives.
I also often remark, you know, if you are a pro-business sort of person, and I consider myself to be one of them, I often point out, if you do not have a thriving middle class that is confident in the economy and feels like they're going to do better than their parents did and that their kids are going to do better than them, we don't have the consumers for all those products that the businesses want to sell, that capitalism requires a robust and growing middle class. And it requires that we do not have the extraordinary levels of wealth inequality that we see. That level of wealth inequality is actually anti-capitalistic, right? Mm-hmm. That's creating an aristocracy. It is it creates oligarchs, if you will. The next issue that you addressed in your piece published yesterday in the journal Sentinel, it was about firearm safety. Tell us more, doctor.
Yeah, I'm a gun owner. My partner is a police officer in Green Bay for over 25 years. I come from a hunting society. I'm sure many of your listeners, Maggie, had the experience that I did in high school, where around Thanksgiving time, about half of the students just disappear because it's hunting season.
Yeah, I've spent some time shivering in a duck blind myself, yes.
Right. We're a hunting society. We are a gun-owning society. Nobody's going to take your guns away. But, you know, I get this from my partner all the time. Domestic violence situations where they have to respond to these calls, they have no idea what they're going to walk into. And if there's someone there who is struggling, who has a mental health issue, who shouldn't own a gun for whatever reason, we need to make sure that we're keeping guns out of the hands of people who are dangerous. We need to make sure that education and safe storage and all of these things, easy measures for responsible gun ownership, are implemented and are options for gun owners so that we can all be safe, responsible gun owners. So, you know, like I said, as a gun owner myself, a partner of a police officer, living in a hunting society, we're never going to get rid of guns and nobody wants to do that, but there is definitely a way to do this better.
Polls say the vast majority of Americans agree with you. This is, again, one of those things, like, it shouldn't be this hard to get it done. Last and certainly not least, as a doctor, you know a thing or two about Medicaid and Medicare. It has been a subject of my ire for years that Robin Voss, Scott Fitzgerald, and Wisconsin Republicans refused to expand Medicaid or Badger Care here in the state, which keeps tens of thousands of Wisconsinites from getting the insurance that they need and deserve to live healthy and well lives, and cost Wisconsin taxpayers billions more. What is your view on Medicaid expansion? And since it's not really up to Congress, what would you be doing about it if you were to win in the 8th CD?
It is counter to common sense. What we've been doing in Wisconsin, literally, it makes no financial sense. It makes no human sense. And as a physician who takes care of moms and babies, we haven't even extended postpartum Medicaid. We're one of three states that takes insurance away from new moms, from nearly half of the new moms in Wisconsin, at a time when they need it the most. Women who are going to die related to their pregnancies typically die in the postpartum period. So we need to make sure that they have resources, coverage, doctors that they can go see, not prevent them from getting the care that they need. And you know, you're right, Maggie, I won't be a state legislator, but I sure do know a lot of state legislators who are going to be serving in Madison come January. And I'll continue to talk with them, to continue to use my experience and the stories of my patients to help them understand so that they can make their best choices on behalf of the people of Wisconsin. That really is my mission. This, to me, isn't about a seat in Congress. This is taking care of each other. This just happens to be the role where I fit best to help take care of each other and build community.
Folks, I'm going to give each and every one of you an assignment. I want you to call up a pro-life Republican that you may know in the state of Wisconsin. And I want you to ask them, if you are so gosh darn pro-life, then why are you pushing mothers right after they give birth off of the insurance plans that they need to maintain their health? That is simply unacceptable. You also shared with me that a piece is coming out in the New York Times. Tell us more about that and where people can find it.
I don't exactly know what it's going to say, but I sure did spend a lot of time with a reporter over the weekend. So we'll see.
Wonderful. Do you know when the article is dropping?
We think it's going to drop tomorrow. It's going to be about our district, Wisconsin's 8th. It's going to be about me. We had some great conversations with Jess Bidgood from the New York Times, and I'm really looking forward to it. People across the country recognize how spicy this race is, yeah. how interesting it is, what a dark horse it is. We had record fundraising numbers in the third quarter. We've raised more money during that quarter than anybody else who's ever run in this seat in the history of Wisconsin's 8th. We've had over 45,000 individual donors from across the country pitch in. People are coming from all over the country to knock doors for us. They're writing postcards in Tennessee. I mean, it is unbelievable the way people feel engaged in this campaign, because it's not just a campaign. It really is a movement. And the potential, once we get the first pro-choice OBGYN elected to Congress, that'll be me in November for the lame duck session. Think of what we can do, not just with reproductive health care, but with health care in general, and with all of the other stuff that affects our health, like clean air and clean water and healthy neighborhoods and affordable housing and childcare, and like you name it, all yes. the changes we can make. So I'm so excited about the potential.
If folks want to help Dr. Kristen Lyer make history by being the first female pro-choice OBGYN ever elected to Congress, where can they find out more about your campaign, sign up to volunteer, and do all the good things that's going to make the 8th CD flip blue this November? Where can they find that out?
Please do go to KristenForWisconsin.com, Kristen for Wisconsin on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, Twitter, TikTok even. Come on out. There's a place for you if you want to write postcards, you want to knock doors, you want to call people, you want to reach out to your friends in the 8th Congressional District and have a conversation about what this means to you and why they should vote for me. Let's go, because this is an inflection point in our nation's history.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I always get so excited and filled with energy. When my energy dips, Dr. Lyerly, I can always count on you to feed me some of that great gal power. Congratulations on the grassroots fundraising. I think it's really important that people know that this isn't some big mega donor writing a huge check, that this is coming mm-hmm. from regular people like your friends, family, and neighbors that mm-hmm. are making these record-breaking numbers. Give people the website again, Dr. Lyerly.
KristenForWisconsin.com, my friend.
Awesome. And this, you told me there's a documentary coming out with Christy Turlington in it. Tell us more.
Oh my gosh, this is crazy. So again, I'm an OBGYN doctor, and my mission is to save moms and babies and to build communities. Christy Turlington, if you remember, is a former supermodel with the Cindy Crawfords of the world back in the day. She herself had a bad birth outcome. She nearly bled to death after her first delivery. And as a result, she started a nonprofit focused on improving maternal outcomes. So she and I and some other folks from around the country are working on this documentary that brings my campaign into it. But the entire focus really is on what do we need to do to find the political courage to change things for moms and babies in a country where we spend more money on healthcare than any other country, yet our outcomes for moms and babies are the worst in the developed world.
It's an absolute travesty. Thanks so much for your time. That is Dr. Kristen Lyerly, candidate for the 8th Congressional District, my friend, and friend to each and every one of you. Be sure you're registered to vote. Make a voting plan. Take your friends and family. Make it a voting party. You can find out more at myvote.wi.gov. She'll be back with me next week. Got some final thoughts for y'all on this Thursday edition of the Maggie Dawn Show. We'll check it out after these brief messages here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tumbling down, tumbling down, tumbling down.